This is Tall Boy Radio. Each week, your hosts, Beans, Gaz and Andy, grab a beer and discuss our topic of the week. We try to keep things uncomplicated. The premise for this podcast is as simple as we are. Not only can you listen to us wherever good podcasts are found, you can also watch us. Just search Tall Boy Radio on YouTube. If you have a story and want to feature on the show, drop us an email at tbrpodcast@hotmail.com or leave us a comment on social media at Tallboy Radio on Twitter and Facebook and at Tallboy Radio Podcast on Instagram, or leave us a message via the Anchor app, which we can play on the show. This is a Beans Does Stuff production. Anyway, the show is about to start, so go grab yourself a cold one, sit back and enjoy. Welcome back to the Tall Boy Radio podcast. Now, if you remember, we said a couple of weeks ago we had a goal for 2021, and that goal was to work with a couple of other podcasts. So this is another special episode. We are joined by the Scottish Alchemists, who have a podcast about gin, and we're going to be talking about gin, of all things, and a few other things beside, and tasting a few different gins as well, one that's local to us, and one that they've been kind enough to send to us. So shall we introduce the regular guys first? Do you want to go first, Gazza?
Hi, guys. It's great to be back on the podcast again. Obviously, looking forward to this. Great to work with other podcasters. Really looking forward to where this episode goes and just exploring their thoughts. So, yeah, all good. Looking forward to it.
Good man, good man. Andy?
Hi. Looking forward to this one. I don't drink gin, so we're going to have an interesting episode for me, I think. Learn how to have a proper drink.
Well, funnily enough, I think this is how we first came into contact, actually, because you guys responded to when we had Dave on from Double Trouble Drinks, and he was talking about his gin, and Andy committed a cardinal sin by putting Vimto in here. So who wants to take a shot at him first?
I'll go first. I think it was me that discovered gin. I was racking my brains today to think, how? So hi, I'm Joyce from the Scottish Alchemists. And I think I tuned in and you went to Double Trouble and Andy was on the Vimto and gin and I nearly bolt at the bottom.
Because let's face it, you could put Vimto with anything and it'll just kill the taste. So it doesn't matter if you don't like gin, Andy. It'll be fine, just add the Vimto, you'll not get any of
It was a well thought out publicity stunt. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I'm Carol from the Scottish Alchemist, and I'm just going to back this up by saying we've never drunk gin with anything other than tonic. So we've never drunk it with water, we've never drunk it with lemonade, we've never drunk it with anything. But Vimto is something that will be added to our list now.
100%.
I'm not sure we can recommend that, if I'm really honest. Vimto with water is bad enough. Great stuff. So which gin do we want to lead with first? We've got a couple of gins. So you sent us a gin called, is it Marylebone Gin, which I noticed actually features on the front of your book, if for the perceptive amongst us. Which we'll get to talking about later. If you look in the background, I'm sure there's a bottle of that in the window there. And we sent one called Bottom Knocker up to you guys.
Yes, indeed. I've got the Bottom Knocker here.
There you go.
I've got the Distilled Bottom Knocker. That's what it looks like when she sends it to us.
Yeah. Any old bottle will do.
That's it, absolutely.
So should we start with the Bottom Knocker first then?
Yeah.
I'll hold that one up to the camera there as well, just for those who are watching on YouTube, those few that do. So Bottom Knocker is made by a place called Moreland Pottery locally. So we're not too far from Stoke here, are we, Gaz? Andy's a little bit further away in Stockport. But yeah, Stoke is famous, obviously, for its pottery, isn't it, Gaz?
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of one of the... I suppose the industry that sort of put Stoke on the map, the Stoke pottery, it was quite a big mining community sort of, again, back in the day. But really, when you look at Dalton and Spode, there's lots of sort of very, very, very famous sort of pottery companies in and around Stoke. So yeah, that's sort of what put it on the map, I suppose. And we've been sort of living on the back of that sort of infamy for a while, haven't we? That's probably one of the only things that Stoke's famous for, really. Unfortunately, nowadays, that's what people think of. So
that and football violence. But so
yeah.
Does anyone know what a bottom knocker is then?
Yes, I do. I'm the SWAT.
All right. So
that's it.
You've looked it
up. Do your background knowledge.
Or the liberal-minded one of us, I'm not sure.
No, only because I research all the facts about gins. I like to tell the story about them, whereas Joyce and Jenny just like to drink it. Joyce says, if you want to know anything about the gin, Google it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
My business is adult learning, and I'm very much about find your own way through. And do you know what? We can all find a way to learn from ourselves. So I hate for anybody to tell me the story or tell me what's in it, because I really like to guess. So that's where we all complement each other, because Carol, if I need to know something, I just go to Carol. It's easy.
So
bottom knocker, it's to do with obviously the pottery industry. And whenever you fire pots and things, you have to protect some of the pottery from the smoke and things. So they have a saga, is it a saga maker who makes a kind of box for it? And that's the most skilled bit. And then they get some it used to be a wee laddie, and who would make the bottom from it. So he was the bottom knocker.
He was. So that is pretty much the gist of it. In fact, my great uncle as a child was a bottom knocker. That's what I've been told anyway. might just be a rumour. Cast aspersions on the guy. So yeah.
In the pottery.
I don't know if it was involved in pottery or not. But yeah, so basically it was an unskilled job, which is basically what, you know, the child used to do it. And then the skilled job was the saga maker, which was making the surround, which my great granddad used to do it. So yeah, we'll go into a little bit about what's in it, or, you know, maybe you guys can discern what's in it. But first, has anybody added in any other accoutrement to it, any decorations? Because I know you were very kind to send us some dried fruit to put in the one that you sent us. Has anybody added anything into this?
I've only added a touch of Mediterranean tonic. So we'll wait and see. I haven't put any of the additions into this one because I was waiting to try. And the one that's been sent to us. So just a little bit of tonic for me.
Yeah.
Andy, have you added any garnishes?
No, it's just neat at the minute. I thought I'd have a little taster first. I got it. Tonic water as well.
Oh, come on. See, I have added a garnish, and it's a garnish which I don't think is used often enough, and that's banana.
No, stop it!
Yeah, that's weird.
You should have seen the look on their faces then. I had look of absolute horror.
That's it. Well, I was listening to your podcast and I thought, do you know what? That's the kind of drink I'd order. If you stick a banana in it, it looks like a dolphin with a raspberry in its mouth. I like the sound of that. That drink exists because of idiots like me.
Oh, that was brilliant. That was fantastic.
I'll take it out though for the drinking purposes.
Well, since you listened to the podcast, I've just added Schweppes into mine, but I was going to do a wee bit of rimming.
Well, for a bottom knocker, I suppose it's important.
I thought it was appropriate. And so I was going to rim it with iron brew and oat cakes.
Yes.
Yes.
Unfortunately, fell down in the oat cakes, no oat cakes, and my husband balked at the idea of me using a whole can of iron brew just to dip it in. So,
now that's something that we can arrange as oat cakes. We can send you up some oat cakes if you've never tried them. We'll send some Staffordshire oat cakes up to you guys. That's fine.
Well,
I lived in England for 28 years, and my husband went to Croon Alsatia College. So I've actually been to Alsatia, but I mean, we live in oatcakes in Scotland, and I can't believe I've got none in the house. I'm absolutely more than
I ate all mine on Sunday, so I don't have any to do with either.
And what's the difference between Staffordshire oatcakes and Scottish oatcakes?
It's very different. A Staffordshire oatcake is more like a savoury sort of firm pancake, isn't it?
Yeah. I suppose it's quite a flat. Yeah, I suppose to look at it, it would be quite a large sort of flat pancake, really. But it's quite savoury, I suppose. And you would get traditional sort of breakfast oatcakes, which you would have your bacon or your sausage or your mushrooms or your egg, and you have any combination of those that can be filled with it. But again, I suppose Stoke is and Staffordshire is sort of well known for their oatcake. So yeah, quite different actually. And I know lots of other sort of places in the UK will say, oh, we have oatcakes, but we call them various other things, stotties and various other things. So, but yeah, the Staffordshire oatcake is, I suppose, quite unique really.
Yeah, because ours are more like biscuits.
Yeah, like
a crispy biscuit. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
We can get rough and smooth as well. Rough and smooth, coarse. A whole variety of oatcakes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the Staffordshire oatcake, which Gaz tells us about, is synonymous with this area. Actually, synonymous to Stoke-on-Trent as well. So it's, you know, you probably will have had it if you've been to Allsaints. There's a very famous place called Barry's Pantry, is it? Or Barry's
Oatcakes? Yeah, Barry's Pantry. Yeah, he's won various awards for his. He puts a secret family ingredient in that sort of, apparently, you know, every sort of Staffordshire oatcake producer will claim to have a secret family recipe that they add various sort of ingredients into, but Barry in Alsager, he's won various awards for his and stuff. So he's quite famous sort of locally in terms of his oatcakes. So, and they are fantastic, by the way. They're great. So
next level stuff.
Absolutely.
So what do we think of this gin then? Who wants to go first? What do you think? You think it's flavoured with?
So when you taste gin, what we would recommend is that you would taste it neat. First of all, so take a tiny wee bit in your lips to taste it neat, because the flavour profile changes whenever you dilute it. So that's the eye. A wee swig from the bottle, wait your lips.
I shall do that now.
I literally put my finger in and rub it on my lips. I don't actually put it in my mouth for the first one. Okay. I just rub it on my lips.
Yeah, that's because you're a wuss, Joyce.
I know, yeah.
Well, wait for everybody else to try first, and you see that actually does taste slightly different.
It
does, and I think it's quite, when you smell it, it's quite sweet.
It is. I haven't looked at what flavors in it. I know it's flavored with, it says six botanicals, so one for each of the six towns which make up Stoke-on-Trent. But the real strong taste I get out of it is vanilla.
I get vanilla, yeah. 100% you get vanilla, yeah.
Yeah, I get that in my mouth, but see, when I put it on my lips, first of all, I felt it was a real strong whiskey taste. It was oaky. Mm.
But the oak, yeah.
And so it was sort of like Tobermory gin on the lips.
It's matured in the oak barrels, isn't it?
It is. It's matured in oak, and the reason for that is the bottom knocker used an oak hammer, so that's why it's matured in oak to give it that oaky flavour. That's the only flavour that I know that's in it, but I can taste the vanilla and I can taste the oak as well, because I do like a good whiskey.
I can definitely taste the vanilla. That was what, and my wife, who drinks more gin than I do, she had a little taste, and she said 100% vanilla. That was the first thing that she picked up on straight away, was she said vanilla. So
we tend to find that it's got about three tastes. So it'll have one in the lips, and then it'll have one in your mouth, and then you might get a third one when you swallow.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Or you can just take a big plug and see what you think.
That's what Andy's doing.
Joyce tastes more than us. Jenny and I can taste it, maybe discern a few different flavours, whereas Joyce can she can actually get right down into the nitty gritty. But yeah, we are gluggers.
the other flavour in it as well, I read, was the oats as well as the oak. So this flavour that's yeah, so it's got the oats in it. I think the oats are obviously then removed, but just to give it that bit of a flavour, because the original one they did was an oat cake gin, so it was supposed to taste sort of oaty. I couldn't pick out the oats, and I can't really pick it out in this, if I'm really honest.
No, I read how they actually made it, and I think what they do is, one of the processes is they macerate the oak the oats for 3 days, so they have their 96% ethanol macerated in the oat for three days, and then they distill it. So
I tell you what, you guys do your research, don't they?
Well, she does. That just washes over.
Yeah, I do. And then, and obviously, after that, so they're infusing it with these 6 botanicals. Sometimes the vapour goes through a basket containing the botanicals, but obviously for a gin, the main botanical has to be juniper. Mm. And the fact that it's infused with oak and a touch of vanilla makes me think that it obviously can't be classed as a London dry gin, because a London dry gin, you can't add anything to flavour it after distillation.
Yeah. Right. So that's what a London. That was one of my questions, actually. What is a London dry gin? Because I spotted that on the bottle of the one that you sent to us.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
So being educated as well. Not only are we tasting gin, we're being educated at the same time. I love it. It's brilliant.
That was inevitable, wasn't it, really, Gavin?
Absolutely.
First point of education, never use a banana in a gin. And then you can call Carol's sporty stuff as well.
Yeah, well, I can't taste a banana, if that's any consolation. It's probably a good thing.
A third taste on the swallow. Is anybody getting anything on the swallow? Something different?
I can pick up at the back of my throat a citrusy yep. taste, actually.
That's what I get, a citrusy orange on the swallow.
You know what I get? I get a wee bit of a sherbetty taste.
It is a sweet one, actually, because I'll be honest, when I separated it out of the bottle, I dropped it off with Andy, and I said, I've got to be honest, dude, it does not smell pleasant. But it actually, but it actually tastes okay.
Yeah. You see, that's interesting, because I can't pick up the citrus at all, really. And I must admit, the vanilla, 100%, I get, I can pick that up straight away, but the citrus, no, not at all, really.
Gary, you've got Mediterranean tonic in yours, haven't you?
I have, yes, yeah.
So different tonics can kill different tastes, and we are very much on the Schweppes corner, whereas a lot of people don't like Schweppes because of the kind of artificial quinine and sweeteners and things in it. They prefer Fevertree or some of these, but for us, we like the taste of quinine and we like Schweppes.
Because it is the Fevertree one, that I've got, so.
All London Essence.
Yeah, that's one I've picked up, London Essence. It's not one I've seen before, actually. I've not one I've tried before, but it is pretty pleasant, I'll say that for
They're
it.
Nice to, yeah, they are nice, the London Essence, yeah.
Interesting. Yes.
Put Vimto in it, Andy.
Funnily enough.
Vimto and tonic. Yeah, forget the gin, just do Vimto and tonic.
But we do say, Gary, that there is no right and wrong because it is very palate dependent. So it does depend on your exposure to different foods and different tastes. So sometimes we've picked up a gin and they've said, oh, it's got, I don't know, grains of paradise. Well, I don't know what a grain of paradise is, so I wouldn't know if I could recognise it. There is no right or wrong. Everybody tastes it differently. So we wouldn't tell you need to taste this. This is what it tastes like. It's up to you.
Yeah.
But you would would say don't put Vimto in it.
Everybody would say that.
Yeah. I think what we would say is if you're going to put Vimto in a drink, just get the cheapest alcohol you can because you don't need these subtle tastes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the old Mad Dog 2020 back in the day. So you obviously, like we said at the start, you first picked up on that, like, through the Vimto, because we had David on from Double Trouble Drinks, and you tried their gin, haven't you? And actually said it was a really good one.
It's lovely. It's very so I ordered a wee sample to start with, and I found it very, very like Brockman's, which is a superb gin. But Double Trouble's obviously not as expensive, and I felt it was just as good. So then one day Jenny came through to visit me where I live in Scotland, and there's one bar in Peebles which is a darts bar, and they had it and we tried it there. It's a lovely gin. It's a lovely gin.
I got a bottle for my Christmas, so yes, I've purchased a bottle as well. So yeah, and I think what they're doing is absolutely amazing. Yeah. And I know talking about making a beer now. I don't know if is it a lager or whatever for the darts audience, which they are just going to go from strength to strength with that.
Oh, definitely, yeah. They're going to do different beers, aren't they? So they're going to do like a beer club. So I think it's going to be because they actually added it to their website, so we know the prices. I think it's going to be $19.99 for 6 bottles every 2 months is what they're looking at doing, and that's really reasonably priced. And then doing a different beer every 2 months to try, which will be interesting.
Yeah, I just think it's great.
But they've also got a couple of gins coming out as well. They're launching in the net, well, very, very soon, they're launching a pink gin. So they're doing tasters at the moment. So if you order a bottle at the minute, you'll get a taster of the pink gin. And I've got to tell you, it's really good. Rather than it being sort of a strawberry or anything like that, it's rhubarb flavoured. Now, I've tried the Edinburgh gin, the rhubarb and ginger. So I'm a big fan of that one. But I prefer this because it doesn't have the ginger in it. And it honestly, really, really tasty. Mm, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. We'll need to get one to them, get a wee sample for the girls.
Well, not only that, though, as we sort of, we weaseled out of him, didn't we, guys, when the last time he was on the podcast, we pitched an idea to him, and they are, we think, going to use it, aren't they, later in the year, hopefully.
Yeah, obviously we can't say too much, and Dave, whenever he comes on to our podcast, he ends up sort of giving out way too much information than he planned on. I think might be a little bit a case of sort of watch this space. But yeah, there's a couple of things that we're quite excited about for Double Trouble. And yeah, it's always funny because after we finish recording, we always have sort of 5-10 minutes afterwards, and he will always say, oh, I gave away too much there. You always manage to do it. And because he's been on sort of 2 or 3 times, and each time he's sort of given away, whether he has or not, you don't really know. But he always says he's given away just a little bit too much than what he planned to. We've sort of built up quite a nice rapport with Dave, just in terms of the world record that we did. And he sort of helped to sponsor, gave us a sponsorship and so on. And from that, we've sort of developed quite a good relationship with him. So, he's been on our podcast a couple of times. And as I say, there's one or two things in the pipeline that obviously I can't say too much, and I'm sure he wouldn't thank me for saying too much. But, yeah, just sort of watch this space. So we're interesting times ahead, I think.
Excellent.
I think they've done really well to sort of work out the niche first and then cater for it. Such a clever, clever idea.
Yeah,
it is, and then they've added the other products as well, the rum, and I tell you, the vodka. Yeah. Actually, I think the vodka.
Yeah, the vodka. Yeah, the vodka is excellent.
It's fantastic. It really is a good one.
But it's just the whole darting concept, just in terms of the colours that they use, and the sort of the greens, the reds, the white. You know, just everything about it. They've obviously thought, you know, quite hard about it. So I hope, you know, fingers crossed for them guys. Obviously, they're going to go from strength to strength, because I think it's a community that's only going to grow, and hopefully that they sort of the community sort of grab hold of their products and they run with it and they go, you know. And so we're looking forward to what might happen for them sort of 2021 and onwards. So fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
So when we're talking about podcasts as well, you guys obviously, you know, you have a very irreverent podcast, as you call it yourself, the most irreverent gin podcast that's out there to listen to. Tell us a little bit about them, because actually it's quite interesting, because you each have your own different segments in that as well, which I quite like the idea of that.
Yeah, well, if you listen to the first one or two or three even or four, we didn't have our own segments, and we were a bit shambolic, but our technical manager said to us, you know, maybe you should listen to other podcasts and get a bit of an idea of a format. And we're like, all right, okay. Yeah.
That's some good advice for us, actually, Gavin.
Sorry, a format for a podcast? What's all that? You mean to have one?
So we came up with our different segments. Carol's was obvious because of her chemistry background, and Joyce and I very often overlap with our ginspiration and our ginventory. And I think initially I started off with a ginventory, and then it went to you, Joyce. But it very often sort of blurs. And sometimes I'm not inspired by anything, but I just have to pretend I am. So, it has... it's evolved, I would say. I think we're up to, what, 39 mm-hmm. episodes now. And over the time, it has kind of evolved and got a bit... we felt in the middle of probably around episode 25 or so, we weren't as irreverent as we wanted to be. So we kind of challenged ourselves to get back on track. And yeah, then we started just letting loose a bit more.
Yeah, I think one of the problems we had is that we just liked to chat. And then we were chatting. We're saying, look at the time here. We really need to kind of set a time and say, right, we've got our segment, so you can't be any longer than 10 minutes. But because we always interrupt each other, and well, when I do my chemistry section, they two switch off, so that you can see they zone out, and then they come in at the most inopportune moments and ridicule some of the stuff that I say. So that's why every so often I have to give them a test to make sure they've been listening.
There's no test tonight, is there?
I was going to say, oh, is that for later in the podcast? We'll have to start doing that just for Andy. We'll have to make sure he's awake. Just say, right, Andy, so here's your test.
Come on. I don't know. I had a big glass of gin a minute ago. I think I poured a bit too much.
Andy, the secret is just always have a pencil in your hand and it looks as if you're taking notes.
Yeah.
The problem that we have is that Adam, generally, when we do the podcast, Adam is the main... I suppose, note taker for the podcast. I will make, if I'm hosting, I will obviously make some in terms of, right, okay, we're going to start here and I want to mention this and then I want to get to that point. Whereas I think Andy's just a bit like, yeah, you know, he's probably the least note taker out of the three of us, I suspect. But
it's
Adam,
all up here, that's why.
That's absolutely.
I don't need to write down.
But it's funny because Adam will make, I would suggest, you know, a page of A4 notes, a couple of pages of A4 notes sometimes. And you can guarantee that by the time he's got to bullet point number two, we've taken a left turn and we're actually talking about something. And like all...
He does, unfortunately. Yeah, I do, unfortunately. I mean, I've got a page worth of notes here as well. And I can already tell from looking at the timer, none of it's going to get used.
But that's the best conversations, isn't it? They just flow and they grow organically, so... Yeah, that's kind of what we do.
Yeah. Gaz is frozen, but he'll sort himself back out and get himself back into the podcast. So, while Gaz is gone, then, there's something I was going to chuck out a little bit later, but I'll do it now, actually, while you know, because we've talked about this, and Gaz will probably talk about it at length when we get back on. Is your book, you know, I saw this on Twitter just before Christmas. I'm not going to lie, I was impressed with that. That level of organisation. So tell me about it. Tell me about the level of work that went into this then, because, you know, it's something we've talked about doing, maybe.
Well, over to our author, Joyce, who has got experience in publishing her own books.
So, really? Yeah, I self-published. That's number 10.
Really?
Uh-huh. Wow. And just coming up to Christmas, we were kind of kicking around ideas. And, well, it must have been November, and we kind of thought, well, should we do a book? And I said, you know, we could do a book. We've all got our own categories and we ask questions every week. Let's make it a quiz book. And I basically gave the girls a date and said, go back through the podcasts. Give me, I think, was it 30 questions each? Give me 30 questions each. Yeah. I'll format it, wang it together. We'll get it out before the end of November. And we did. It's dead easy to self-publish once you know how. So, yeah, we turned it around in about 2 weeks, didn't we? And then the next thing we knew, so we priced it, put it up on Amazon, sold over Christmas, sold quite a lot, actually. And we've decided, we took it down after Christmas, but I'm going to hit the button again for sale because we're going to put it back up for Mother's Day. So all you kids out there with mums that like gin, get it on Amazon.
Yep. That is a good idea. That is a great idea. So did you self-publish through Amazon then?
Yeah, it's dead easy. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Because all mine through Amazon, so it's really easy.
Because we were inspired by that as well, weren't we, Andy? We've hatched our own plans a little longer than 2 weeks to get it to where we are, which is virtually nowhere. but we've started putting together our own cookbook, haven't we?
Oh, fantastic!
We got to learn to cook first, and then
there's that. Yeah.
And then write it down.
You could do your cookbook like the gin pancakes that I made today. So you get flour, you get eggs and sugar and gin. And then you throw the flour, the eggs, and the sugar in the bin and just drink the gin.
That one would, that would make the cut, actually. We toyed with the idea, didn't we, of calling it Cooking with Vimta.
Yeah, there's copyright issues around that.
Well, there, yeah, there were copyright issues with that one, unfortunately. Yeah, so we are all like compiling a list of recipes at the moment, and we, I don't know when it's going to get launched. Probably Christmas 2025. The rate we're working through it, but yeah, we're going to get some contributions. Dave from Double Trouble Drinks, he's going to do some gin cocktails for us in there as well. Our pals in Oklahoma, Tiddy and Shanna, are going to do some Oklahoma barbecue for us. And Gaz's daughter is putting something together based around Gaz's famous catchphrase, isn't she?
Yes, she is. One of my sort of famous catchphrases on the podcast is "What the fudge?" So so she's going to sort of do various recipes based around fudge. She loves baking, and she loves sort of, you know, she's sort of 15, and she loves sort of dabbling with sort of baking and cooking and stuff. So she's going to do something around fudge, which is great. And we'll wait and see where that goes. But yeah, fingers crossed. It's all exciting. We'll wait and see.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we could always add the Scottish Alchemist martini recipe to it, and rather than the traditional garnish was going to be a tablet, we could use fudge.
There you go.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that. So you guys have got your own cocktail, haven't you? And I listened to your last episode where you were talking about rimming it with various things. I wondered if maybe we could come up with a Tall Boy Radio cocktail. Definitely won't involve any Vimto, Andy. Sorry, but you know, it definitely needs to be a beer with a gin.
Oh my god. Yeah, you can do a beer with a gin, no problem, because you can get those, you know, the Corona cocktail type things where it's a big, the balloon glass full of ice, gin, and, you know, your Corona beer in it. So, yeah, you could do a gin and beer cocktail, no problem at all.
Yeah.
Give it a bit of thought around what the gin would be, what the beer would be, if you put anything else in it as well.
Yeah, I think you'd have to have them too in it, even just for the colour.
Even if it's just a tiny little drop, just pop some. You see, the last time I had beer and gin was maybe back in the sort of university days where we were doing various sort of pub golf, and I was late to one of the venues, and they sort of said, right, well, we've done beer and we've done gin, so you've got to catch up. And I went, well, I'll just put the gin in the beer and do both at the same time. And it wasn't that pleasant, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't great. So by the end of the night, it was quite traumatic from memory. But yes, I think that's probably the last time I actually put gin and beer together. But I'm sure there's a combination out there that would go and work, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
Jenny's
all...
a cocktail queen. She would make one up for you.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. We can. That's another one to the book where we don't have to do.
There you go.
Work,
see, that's page two done anyway. Then.
Yeah. Very seriously.
Probably not Corona though. I think, you know, 2020, 2021. We've had enough of Corona.
Yeah, definitely not.
Ugh. So, do we want to try this other gin then that you kindly supplied us with? Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, Marylebone gin. So. It's got a long history. It's named after Marylebone, which is an area where the pleasure gardens were in the 17th century in London. So Marylebone High Street was a well-known pleasure garden where notaries of the day, so sort of famous writers and whatever of the day, used to go of an evening and mingle with the harlots and the society girls and all the rest of it. And so Marylebone gin is made by the London Pleasure Gardens Distillery. However, if you dig a little bit deeper, I think it's a Greenall's gin.
It ties to Whitley Neal as well.
Yeah, and Whitley Neal. So Thomas Greenall was around in the time of the Pleasure Gardens and very influential and started distilling in the time of the Pleasure Gardens. And his great-great-great-great-grandson is Johnny Neal of the Whitley lineal distilleries. So it's all very interwoven and all the rest of it. So the London Pleasure Gardens Distillery, I think, is a pseudonym of Greenalls. However, the reason I picked it for you guys was because it's a 50.2 ABV. And I thought we need to give you something with a bit of a kick.
that one has got a kick.
Definitely has got a bit of a kick.
Yeah. Oh, on a school night as well.
That's
why I'm not drinking it.
I'm glad it's half term.
Yeah. All sorts on this, Jen.
That does pack a punch when you take that one out of the tonic, I tell you.
And it is your sort of typical, although it is 50% ABV, it is your kind of straightforward London dry gin. It's not got lots of flavourings or sort of extra botanicals or anything like that in it. It's a pretty straightforward what we would call a ginny gin. It's just a gin.
Nothing fancy, nothing flake, it's just a gin.
The flavours all come from because I think there's 13 botanicals Marylebone, so they're infused in the alcohol, so nothing's added afterwards, so the flavour all comes through the distillation process.
Yep.
And I've added the garnishes there. I don't know if you can see there, if you're watching on YouTube, that you were kind enough to send us some pink grapefruit, some regular grapefruit and some limes. And you can see I've got it out of my double trouble gin glass there.
Lovely. Yeah, well, over Christmas I decided I was going to dehydrate some fruit for garnishes. But in the bags, it was actually a choice. You could either have grapefruit or lime, or you could have them both together.
Both.
He's quite greedy, to be fair, Adam. Is he just throw them in? Just throw them in.
Pink grapefruit pretty much goes with every gin under the sun. It totally is a universal garnish, so it's great for anything. And then if you want something a bit more citrusy, the lime is perfect.
I definitely get that there's more of a, it hits the back of your throat, sort of not quite a very strong sort of burn as such, but it's a definite hits the back of your throat, that you can feel it more there than the one that we sent to you. Yeah. There's a lot that feels like there's a lot more of a kick at the back of the throat almost. It's very pleasant, by the way. Very pleasant. But
I have to say, I muted my microphone after tasting it, neat, just in case I sounded like Joe Pasquale when I first tried to talk.
And what flavours are you getting from it?
Oh, you see, now you're testing my palate now, aren't you?
Gee whiz, yeah. I'll be honest. Grapefruit and lime for the most part.
Grapefruit.
So the other question we ask, because it might not be a flavour, it might be a colour or an experience or a memory. So sometimes we ask the question, it tastes like what?
Oh, now that is a good question.
Because then it can be anything.
And I suppose that goes back to what you're saying about it can be very individual to that person, and a particular gin can trigger a memory or a sensation different to anybody else, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I suppose that goes back to what you're saying about, you know, you're not sort of dictating, well, it tastes like this or it has to be this. It is very much down to the individual then.
Yeah.
Which is a great question, by the way.
Clean language.
How significant is the percentage in gin? Still like wine, it's apparently the stronger the percentage, the higher the quality, but I take it it's not the same with gin.
It's not necessarily better quality. It is obviously a higher percentage of alcohol in it, but it's not necessarily better quality. And what we've found, we've been drinking quite a few navy strength gins recently. We've been going a bit rough on the navy strength gins. But I think the technology and the distilling process is such now that these 50, 57% gins are absolutely as smooth as anything, whereas maybe 20 years ago, they were as rough as, you know, they were, you know, burning the throat off you and really not, they weren't called navy gins for a reason. But now it's not really about the quality, because they're pretty smooth as well, these gins, which make them very, very dangerous. Sitting drinking away and then you stand up and your legs don't work.
For a gin, as long as you've got over 37.5% alcohol, then it can be classed as a gin. And as Jenny says, once you get up to 57%, then that's classed as a navy strength. So distillers, they just taste and they will bottle it whatever taste they think suits the botanicals and the flavour profile.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Go on, Gazza.
Go on. No, go on, Ad. Go on.
I was going to say, I visited a gin distillery in Scotland. I went to the Edinburgh Gin one, and that actually was quite an interesting experience. And Edinburgh Gin actually is one of my favourite gins. I really, really enjoy that one. So have you guys ever thought then about making your own gin? You know, like doing Double Trouble? Have you guys ever thought about that?
You must have heard of Jennifer's Gin. You must have heard of the gins that Jenny's been making. Have you not heard about Tadger's Hope and Floral Snatch?
Oh, yeah.
Tadger's was my first foray, and actually, on reflection, it's pretty rough. But my Floral Snatch, I have to say, is an absolute winner.
I was going to say, if you were going to tell us that your Floral Snatch was rough, I'm not sure Andy would have coped with that one.
There's nothing rough about my Floral Snatch.
that's a sentence I never thought I'd hear somebody say on a podcast.
If we could have got a taste of Jenny's Floral Snatch to do, we would have.
that was my. But I couldn't make it quick enough. The next batch I make it in nano batches, so it's very, very small batches. I take standard botanicals and then add, and this is the kind of bathtub method that is used by some distilleries, where you take a base spirit, add the botanicals, strain, blend, play around with the taste until you get what you want. And that's very much, just taking a base spirit. And the base spirit is actually vodka. Plain vodka, nothing too sophisticated, because you don't want it to interfere with the taste of the botanicals, and then put the botanicals in and then play around with the different percentages, and do you want it really junipery, do you want it more floral, do you want it a bit rougher, what do you want? And then I get to my final. But Joyce has been touting my Floral Snatch about her town, and it actually got really good reviews, didn't it?
It did. I had people queuing up for a taste of your Floral Snatch.
But it was unfortunate. It took two weeks or so to mature, so there was none ready in time to send down.
You might not say mature.
I have nothing to add to that.
No.
I don't.
So, you see, I'm getting back to the Zamara Lebone.
Tastes like what?
There's definitely citrusy in there. Mm-hmm. I can't decide. I don't know quite what, but there's a definite citrus taste to it. Mm-hmm. And I say then there's the bit which is the different bit, which is the back of the throat bit, which then feels more of what you would class as a strong drink, when you take a sip and it hits the back of your throat sort of thing. Quite what it is, I don't know. I'm loath to say it's the obvious sort of lemon, but that might be in there. So grapefruit, lemon, maybe, I don't know. But definite citrusy in there somewhere.
Other than that, I wouldn't. Different citrus elements. I think there's grapefruit and lemon as well.
Yep.
And that then gives you an idea. So what we do once people have tasted it and they've got the taste that they can identify from it, that then gives you something to garnish. So you can either complement, so you could complement it with citrus and wang it all in like Adam did, or you could contrast with something completely different. So maybe some juniper berries or something like that.
Yeah.
As soon as you can identify something that you recognise, you can then say, okay, I'm going to stick in this or this, complement or contrast.
Yeah. And
the banana.
or a banana.
Yeah. Along, so maybe gin with banana and Vimto. Maybe that's something. So there's a bit of Andy and there's a bit of Adam, mate.
it's a dangerous mix, that one.
Well, there is a Glasgow gin that I think tastes a wee bit of foam bananas. Gilt gin, the make of vodka as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know the foam bananas that you.
Yeah.
There is definitely a banana-y taste to that gin.
There's a beer actually that we've tried called Mongozo. It's a Belgian one, and they do a banana flavored beer, and that doesn't taste of bananas, but it does taste of those foam banana sweets. I love it. These guys hate it and lambast me for drinking it.
Hate the stuff. Yeah, hate it. I don't know why. Anyway, don't even know why it's a drink, but that's a whole different podcast.
So then what have you guys got planned then for your podcast? Obviously, you know, we've had to alter a lot of our plans with, you know, lockdown being extended a little bit longer than we would have liked. What have you got planned? You're going to, you know, because you guys do gin events as well, don't you? Am I right in saying, or did do before we were all forced to stay in our homes?
Yeah. So we've got a stock of gin sitting here that we had bought for a client where we were due to go and do an event in November, December time. So we're hoping to pick up the threads of that once lockdown lifts sufficiently to let us get back out there, because, you know, what we've been talking about here is basically what we do in our gin events. We give people a range of gins to taste. We give them a range of garnishes to work with. So the two extremes, the complement and contrast, we let them play about themselves, because as Joy says, we don't dictate anything. We don't tell them what they're going to taste. And they're great fun. So we're hoping that we'll be able to pick that up again. At the moment, what we've done with the podcast since Christmas is we're only doing select dates. So we've stopped recording it every week. We did a Burns special and a Valentine's special. And we'll see where we go next. And that's just to keep it fresh and so that we don't get bored with it. We'll just see where we go next with it. But as Joy said, the book will be relaunched for Mother's Day and Easter time. And we'll see when lockdown lifts where our attentions go to then.
We did do an online gin tasting. Actually, we did an online gin tasting before anybody else had done it. And we actually didn't particularly enjoy it. It wasn't that much fun for us, whereas our face-to-face events we really enjoy. And although the people on it said it was great and they enjoyed it and they were ready to do another one anytime, we just felt it wasn't for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a bit flat. And we only started recording podcasts because obviously during lockdown we couldn't do gin events. And we just got together every week to chat, and then that's why we started recording it, and continued from there.
Yeah. So, excuse my ignorance. Are you guys local to each other then, or how far is it between you guys?
Jenny and I are local to each other. We're about 5 miles away, but Joyce is maybe about 60 miles from us.
I'm just Edinburgh, so I'm in the Scottish Borders.
Okay.
So I haven't seen them since about September, August, I don't know, month.
September, I think.
So how did the podcast in terms of sort of evolve in terms of coming together as a trio then? Were you doing your own separate thing and then you just came across each other? Or was there some mutual friends? Are you friends from years ago? Or
so we are friends from years ago.
I'm not your friend.
Jenny and I are sisters.
We're sisters. Right. And Carol is my friend and Joyce keeps following us about.
I didn't know that. Why I asked the question, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first thing we did a gin stall at Highland Games in 2018. And we had such fun. We did it the year after again. And then we thought, actually, maybe we've got something here in that We can talk to people. You know, we had a very limited number of gins that we sold. We talked. We knew all about the gins. They were very high-end premium gins. We spoke about them. We gave the appropriate garnishes, blah, blah, blah. And we thought, actually, maybe we could do something with this. And we started to approach a couple of places to see if they would be interested in hosting or us hosting the event in their premises. So we did a golf club and we've done a restaurant and bizarrely a health spa.
Okay.
Yeah, we've done all sorts of different places. And we've, you know, we approached the first venue, which was the golf club, and then all the other people have come to us and said, would you do an event for us? Wow. It's just sort of grown from there. So the Highland Games was the trigger point. Yeah.
I think that was the trigger point in terms of events. But as we said, I mean, we've been friends. Jenny and I knew each other since we were early. Well, before, I wasn't even 20 when I first knew Jenny. So we've been friends for another 10 years or so after that. Yep. So we've been friends for a long, long time. But we all have an interest in gin. So we would always get together and say, have you tried this new gin? Or try this.
Yes.
And because we've got different palates as well, Jenny and I kind of taste things the same. Joyce tastes things differently. So because we were so enthusiastic about our gin, and our kind of motto is, there is a gin out there for everybody, you just haven't found it yet. So that's kind of our mission, to help people enjoy gin and find a gin that they don't go, oh, I don't like gin, it's too perfumey.
Right.
So what about you guys then, Gaz and Andy? Have you been any more convinced to go on that gin journey?
Well, I am now, just because of what Joyce said in terms of, you know, I suppose a gin can be very individual to you and trigger memories or sensations or whatever it may be. So I was always not loathed gin drinking. My wife drinks more gin, but it very much is the sort of the Bombay type gin. There was sort of a gin and beer festival in Osage that me and Adam have been to, and our wives, sort of, you know, that they would come as well. And I would be very much going down the route of the sort of real ale beer tasting. And sort of my wife, Adam's wife, and then subsequently Adam would be very much on the gin. And I was like, Adam, what are you doing? Get on the beer. And he's like, no, gin. And I'm like, no, beer. So Adam's been trying to sort of convince me for a few years now to sort of start to try to drink more gin. And Jenny, my wife, always says, you know, gin is great, it's refreshing. There's a gin, as you just said, for almost for every occasion and every mood as such. You know, there's lots of different gins out there. So, yeah, I'm slowly being sort of convinced that actually, you know, there might be gin out there that I can go into a bar and say, I'll have that, please, as opposed to, you know, I'll take a beer or a real ale or whatever it may be. So yeah, you never know. I'm on the journey towards gin. I'm closer to where I was. I'm perhaps not quite there yet, but I'm getting closer. So
doesn't sound convincing.
Andy's just nowhere near gin. He's just like, show me some real ale, show me some Belgian beer somewhere, and that's where Andy is, I suspect. But no, I can definitely sort of appreciate what goes into the different aspects of the gin, the flavours, and actually you will get lots of different varieties. And I think sometimes people get pigeonholed into thinking it's just gin, effectively, and they really start to appreciate actually what is out there. And obviously with the help of you guys and lots of other people around, you know, just spread the word that actually, you know what, there are lots of different types, and there possibly is one for everybody, and you just might not have tried it yet. So, you know, keep trying, I suppose, is the motto. Keep drinking gin.
Yeah.
There's more than one for everyone, just to be clear on that point.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
And, you know, I think the thing is, it can be very elitist gin, and I think Instagram in particular can, you know, push you down the route of it's a very expensive hobby. But you know what? It doesn't have to be, because not all the best gins are very, very expensive.
Yeah.
You can get great gins for around the £20-25 mark. You don't need to be spending £50 in a bottle of gin or £40 in a bottle of gin at all. And I've kind of made that my mission that every couple of months I do a bit of a spotlight on the podcast to say, right, here's the Kraken gins for 20 quid. I've only got 20 quid this week. What did I buy? This is what I bought. And this is what I could have bought. And, you know, I think there is that certain sort of elitism or snobbery about it. And it does not have to be like that because there are so many out there at every different price point as well. So, yeah, there's something for everyone.
Absolutely.
So
to dab it behind your ears, Andy.
I probably got it in my beard anyway.
Yeah. I thought you've got to the bottom of Andy very, very, very quickly there. You've fathomed him out.
I'm a simple guy. to be honest, I've always had gin towards the end of the night where my missus would be, oh, I'll try this. And I drink a lot of heavy drinks, whether it's beer or whiskey or whatever. And so I've not enjoyed it because I'm probably just far too gone to enjoy it. But like tonight, I've quite enjoyed these ones. I'll read Mrs. Cupboard for now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. But that's quite interesting because at the end of a night, I would probably go for a beer. I would probably go on to IPA or something like that because I find the quinine is a bit...
Right.
At the end of the night, and I'd maybe have a nice IPA or something like that.
Okay, like that.
Yeah,
I know, whiskey and coke for me.
I've tried to stop importing coke in it, but he doesn't.
I put a whiskey and beer as well. Just to...
okay, he does that. Yes, he does do that. Yeah, he does do that.
Listen, you're shot to hell. Just give up.
It's probably just a little window into his soul, isn't it? It's like, I'll go on the beer, and then when I've had enough beer, I'll just put whiskey in beer. That's
And we know Andy's soul's a deep, dark place.
Yeah.
So then, irrespective of price then, you know, what are some of your favourite gins and some of the different ones that you try? You know, what's your particular favourite? Everybody has a favourite or something. What's your favourite gin?
I'm going to dive in because my favourite is easy. I love Lone Wolf. So from the makers of Brewdog, Andy, Brewdog. So they have a distilling arm, which is principally Lone Wolf, but they've also got another couple, Zealot's Heart, and I can't remember the other one. And they make their traditional Lone Wolf is a blue label, and it's beautiful. But their real pièce de résistance, to me anyway, is their cactus and lime gin. And I defy anyone to have that and not love it. And it will be a maximum of £25, but very often you'll get it in Sainsbury's or Tesco for 20 quid.
Wow. I'll keep an eye out for that one.
Uh-huh. Absolute favourite. Yeah.
So I don't think I've got a favourite. The girls might say differently, I'm not sure. It kind of changes week by week, but I would say my favourite over the last year, and it was one that was sent to us, was the Cardrona from New Zealand. Oh my God, that was sublime. It was so smooth and gentle and delicate. I loved that. But I do love Lone Wolf, Cactus and Lime. It just goes down far too easily, far too easily.
And then Cardrona's at the other end of the spectrum, isn't it? Because it's 50, 60 quid for a bottle. So that's the completely other end of the spectrum.
Wow.
So that is a very considered purchase.
But
so I can buy the Lone Wolf and drink it in a week and not worry about it.
The other interesting thing is we've got different drinking styles. So Jenny will buy a bottle and drink it until it's finished. Joyce is kind of in the middle, whereas they call me a gin collector because I have hundreds of gins and I just like, depending on my mood, to take a different gin. So, like that, it's really hard to decide on a favourite. But I agree with Joyce, the Cardrona gin from New Zealand, they do whiskey as well, they do vodka. And there's something really special about it. There is hints of vanilla in it as well, but it is amazing. But the other new gin that was just launched towards the end of last year from 137 Gin from Lumbers Bartholomew is their Navy Royal gin. And that gin, we were luckily enough to be invited along to their kind of online pre-launch event. And that gin, as soon as you open the bottle, you just get the hints of pine. It's just amazing. And then the mouth feeling, it's lovely and creamy. But your whole mouth is just filled with this pint. It's absolutely amazing. So I think the last year, yeah, that would probably be my favourite.
Well, I'm just, now that you're talking about the pine, Carol, I'm going to talk about one just briefly that was a favourite with all of us this time last year when we were in Gdansk. So this is for your Polish audience.
Oh, yeah, they love this.
We love that. We love the Poles.
We discovered it. We went to the local supermarket, as you do, and stock up on alcohol for your apartment. And our friend Sian was with us. She drinks Prosecco, so we're like, that. Knock yourself out, Sian. You can buy a bottle at £2. You get the cheapest one, and we'll buy the only gin they've got, which was Labuski, and it wasn't very expensive. Absolutely incredible. So much so that I think we all bought a bottle in duty-free to bring back with us. I've still got Labuski. I was on Labuski last week. A beautiful gin, made in Poland. Fabulous. Yeah. Love it.
I bought Labuski as well. You can get it from some online retailers in the UK, just depending on stock levels, and I bought it once we got back as well because it was so... Just, it was a fabulous gin, very, very similar to the Lone Wolf, the pininess. And I actually bought a bottle of their vodka as well. I've seen their vodka.
I've seen that. I manage a shop, and we've got a Polish shop just opposite us, and they've got the Labuski branding just out over. So, yeah, I've tried that.
Going to the Polish supermarket. Oh my goodness.
A late morning, possibly an early afternoon, I polish up a coffee. So I make myself a nice hot coffee, and then I put in hazelnut vodka.
Very nice.
Hazelnut syrup. It's, oh.
But when you put that online, Joyce, people think you're just polishing a coffee.
Up my coffee.
What one of my favourite gins that I've tried is one called Death's Door. Have you tried that one?
Yeah, is that the... Oh, no. I'm saying yeah. That's not the one in the skull, is it?
No, it's not, no. It's a regular bottle. It's, I think it's an American one, and it is flavoured with fennel, and it's got a lovely sort of deep aniseedy taste to it. Yeah, it's really, really good. And even when you mix it with a tonic water, you can taste it through.
Yeah, I've only had that once in Tabac. I don't know, Carol, you'll know where Tabac is, in Mitchell Lane. They've got a really good gin selection, and I've tasted that just the once. It's lovely.
Yeah, it is a good one. It is a good one. Guys, you have something to say?
No. It just obviously on our next venture to whether it be a big city or London or whatever, I think we're going to have to take in a couple of sort of gin bars and gin venues. Andy's normally tour guide, so. It'll be his job, I think, next time to source out some gin venues for us. Get him on that. I'm sure he'll come good with that. So,
well, he'll certainly have plenty of time to do research because we're not going to be late for a while.
I know. It's horrible, isn't it? And this sort of difficult times we're in has put paid to quite a lot of the things that various people want to do and stuff. But you know, everybody has ideas about what they want to do and where they want to go and this, that, and the other. So. We've shelved a couple of ideas for our podcast in terms of sort of what we'd like to do. And we said 2021 was going to be quite a busy year for us, but actually it might turn out to be 2022 the way it's going. But we'll wait and see. But yeah, and Andy, that's his next that's your next task, mate, is find a decent gin bar for us to go frequent.
Just find a Polish shop.
There's plenty in Glasgow, plus plenty of good pubs for real ale as well.
Oh, there you go. That's what you need to know.
We should have been one of the things that we said we should have been coming to is it Whitburn. So there was a which is I think sort of near Edinburgh. Is it near Edinburgh? And we weren't staying in there, by the way. It was just the Disability Darts World Cup was there, so that was where it's been hosted. And we were going to sort of pay a visit up there, but obviously the COVID's put pay to that. So we were going to stay in Whitburn, but and by your faces, it's probably a good job that we didn't.
It's put back to September, that one. So we're still planning on going, but won't be May as planned.
Slightly later on in the year. So we might give Whitburn a bit of a swerve then, if that's the case.
And I've got family that live in Whitburn, but I'm hoping they're not listening to this, but
Yeah, that's the that's where the venue of the darts is. We'll stay somewhere else. We'll just go somewhere else. It's fine.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of distilleries around there. There's a Lanarkshire kind of massive. There's a group of distilleries in Lanarkshire that have all got together and worked together. So there are plenty. I mean, there's distilleries everywhere. There's three distilleries in the tiny wee town that I live in. They're just springing up everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I like the sound of that.
Definitely. Right, we're round about the hour mark then, which is where we like to wrap things up. Who wants to go first then and say their goodbyes?
I think we should let the guests go first.
Definitely.
Okay, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having us on your show. So it's goodbye from Joyce.
It's bye.
I'll just echo that. Yeah, it's been great to chat to you. I'm fed up speaking to you too, so it's lovely to have some new company. So bye from Carol.
I was really polite there, and I just said it's bye from Jenny. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Andy?
Oh, it's been good. It's good having you on and learning about other alcoholic drinks.
I've been... Love this episode. Love sort of chatting to sort of fellow podcasters. Love sort of trying to learn stuff about new experiences. So look forward to where the gin journey will take me. Hopefully we can sort of chat again at some point down the line, and we'll look to do something. We always have a bit of this thing on Tallboy Radio of trying to do a follow up and sort of see where we're at and revisit various topics. So really look forward to maybe chatting to you guys again, hopefully at some point in the future. So yeah, really enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
And just, that means he wants some more of Floral Snatch.
Uh-huh. If you can't beat them, join them.
Before Adam says his goodbye, we've all got our lab coats on. We don't normally dress like this. We've all got our lab coats on.
Oh, I hadn't even picked up on that. Gee whiz, that's the gin for you, isn't it?
Oh, there you go, look at that.
Very nice.
And I've got an official one on.
Oh, dude. We need to get something sorted for Tallboy Radio, don't we? Some and not necessarily lab coats. I think that gives us a level of intelligence that we don't possess. But nonetheless, thank you very much for joining us. Exactly like Gaz says, we always try and milk every subject for all it's worth. So we'd love to do something with you guys again in the future. We'd definitely like to try some Floral Snatch, I think. I don't know now. I don't mind.
Maybe Tadger's Hole, that might be another.
Yeah, it might be a different thing. I'm going to get a dig. I'm going to get a dig in the ribs off the wire for saying that one on here anyway. I can tell you that much for sure. So... until next time, when no doubt we'll have plenty more stuff to talk about. Take care.